Praise God. The Lord is good to us. Amen. I want to remind you that when we come back from Jennings, a men's conference, and the youth come back from Pineville, the youth explosion, that's the 12th of January, we start 52 days of consecration. I have a pamphlet that we will be giving out, and we will be presenting this week to you on Thursday night as well as Sunday. It will be available. And it's going to be talking about things to consecrate. And if you have not read or seen or heard the testimonies of those that have made 52 days consecration, there's been little kids that said that they would not eat what Cheetos. One little girl, her favorite was Cheetos. She said, for 52 days, I'm not having any Cheetos or chips or anything like that. And 52 days, that young girl, her grandmother received the Holy, I think it was her grandmother received the Holy Ghost, who had never walked in the church. That little girl's school teacher received the Holy Ghost, and it went on and on and on. I think it was 6 or 7 people that God filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost as a result of this little girl's consecration. Other people, they have consecrated 52 days. One man said that he normally would go to Starbucks and he would just estimate that per day, per week, he spent an X amount of money. And he said, God, instead of going to Starbucks for 52 days, I'm going to take and double what I spend at Starbucks and I'm giving it to you. And as a result, he walked in his job and got a promotion, making twice the amount of money that he was making, and different things like that, all because people had a willfulness to give themselves to God. There's people that have made consecrations. It's more than a fast. We're going to fast. I believe in fasting. But when you consecrate, there's people who said, I'm not going to turn my device on to YouTube for 52 days. I'm going to consecrate. I'm not going to listen to certain music. I'm not going to listen to certain things. And I'm going to consecrate myself. For 52 days, I'm going to do certain things. 52 days, I'm finding 52 people to reach out to, do something special to, or send out 52 cards. There's different things you could do in those 52 days that are amazing. You're going to find that I'm going to encourage you during 52 days that one of the, there's three areas that I'm going to talk to me that I'm making a commitment. I want to be my physical. I want to become physically stronger. As I decline, as older I get, you become weak. And I don't care what age you are. We all become weakened at some time. But physically, I want to do things to strengthen my body. Next thing, my mental. I want to be mentally awake. And I want to do things to help my mental sharpness. So one of the things that I'm doing, I'm working to read. To read things that will help my faith. And then morally straight. So physically strong, mentally awake, and morally straight. Things in my character that, you know, my flaws, getting upset real easy. Or doing things or saying things when somebody pops off. Normally I pop off back. Instead of being quick, I want to be sensible. I want to be mindful of me, my testimony. And that's just me. There's three things I'm working on. But you'll find there's a list of things that we'd be talking to making goals in during that period of time. I want to see God bless you. I want to see God bless this dude right here. Amen. How many wants to bless God? God blesses those that bless him. And when you do it, you're not doing it just to gain something. You're doing it to give something. You're doing it to give. And when you give, you can't outgive God. Amen. That's all I'm going to say about that. Amen. Come Thursday night, prayer, consecration, first things first. And we're so blessed that you're here tonight, every one of you. If you have your Bibles, would you turn to Romans, the 6th chapter? Thank you, Sister Mahala. I appreciate you looking up and I told her, sing that second one. Thank you so much for being sensitive. Amen. And I'm thankful for the blood of Jesus Christ. My. Romans, the 6th chapter, verses 12, 13, and 14 is where I want to read tonight. And I always want to help, and I want to address things to help us as a church and as individuals. So Romans, the 6th chapter, and verse 12 says, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof." And it sounds like here the choice is for us to not allow it. Let not sin reign in your body, your mortal body, that you should obey it. Don't give it a chance to rule you, ruin you. Number 13, the next one. Neither yield ye your members as members of unrighteousness unto sin. Again, there's something to do with a choice there, that yield. Just like that let before. Don't let sin, neither yield your members, your body, as instruments of unrighteousness. But yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. 14, for in doing this, in other words, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under what? Wow. If you do, he will do. See, grace is an empowerment. The goodness of God comes when we make a choice. The Lord will work. Amen. And Romans 14, 12, I'm going to go ahead and read it. You have to turn there. It says, "So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God." Look at your neighbor and say, "You're going to give an account. You're going to give an account of yourself to God." Lord, I thank you for these that are here tonight. Help me to instruct your people. Help me to edify your church. Help me to help them, Lord God, tonight to grow in you and to walk with you, Jesus. We thank you for everyone that is here, and we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You know, we're living in a time where people are asking an important question, but they're answering it the wrong way. A lot of people say, "Am I responsible for this sin in my life? Or am I just a product of what's happening or happened to me?" For example, there are people that were born in situations that shaped them. They were born, their parents were alcoholics. They grew up with somebody in a house that smoked. And it became natural for them at a certain age that they wanted a cigarette. Or it became natural for them to learn to celebrate by drinking. Or it became natural to them when they got upset or when they got excited. Either one, they use filthy words because their environment. And so there comes a time and place they said, you know, is it my responsibility? Am I responsible? Or is it that I'm just a product of my environment? What's happened to me, the way I was shaping? And that could go into other things where a person begins to say, "That's just me, who I am, and I can't help it." And it could go into a certain avenue where somebody says, "Well, you know, I feel like I was born this way or pushed this way to be of a certain mindset." A person that is hateful could say it's because of this or because of that, and therefore, that's the way I act. Even homosexuality today, people say, "Well, I was born that way." And they will begin to point to that and say, "I'm not responsible because was it my choice? Or was it my childhood? Or was it my genetics? Or my trauma? Or my environment?" There's a lot of things that people begin to point their finger at. And the truth, let me just say this today, the truth is not found at either extreme. The Bible does not deny influence. You'll find the Bible doesn't deny influence. You can be influenced, but it never dismisses responsibility. I want to just talk to us tonight about influenced but not imprisoned. Influenced but not imprisoned. A lot of people feel, "Well, I've been influenced. I've been infiltrated. So therefore, I'm kindly excused from doing right." But I want to just tell you, it's still our responsibility. The Bible does not deny influence. but it never dismisses responsibility. I want to walk us through a biblical balance tonight. There's a balance that God wants us to live in. Number one, there's human responsibility. Every one of us has a choice to make the right choices. We have the responsibility to make right choices. Then there's something called human susceptibility. We're all susceptible to things. And there must be a balance between human responsibility and human susceptibility. And I'll tell you what balances it. The grace of God stands in between the two. Are you thankful for the grace of God tonight? Amen. We just read a while ago about the grace of God, how, you know, you yield yourself. Sin will not have dominion over you if you don't let sin ruin you. And it says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. I'm glad tonight that grace always comes through. Amen. Now, human responsibility, from the very beginning, if you look at the word of the Lord, we are moral agents. We are moral. And from the beginning, Scripture begins to present humanity as having responsibility and responsible beings. God created us with a will, with a conscience, and with accountability. And commands will make no sense to you without responsibility. They're just things that are grievance to you. Commands, rules, laws become of no sense when somebody has no responsibility. Warnings become meaningless without a choice, if we don't have a choice. And there's some people who feel like, I don't have a choice, I'm just too bad, I'm too far gone. And when you warn them, it's meaningless. And the next thing I'm going to say, repentance is impossible without agency or action. You got to have something inside of you that acts upon your condition in order to repent. The Bible says about repentance, it takes somebody coming to their place and realizing you need God. Repentance is worthless if you don't mean it. And if you don't do something about it, you got to turn to God. And repentance is totally, totally, totally impossible without action. Because repentance is not something that just happens to a person. It is something a person does in response to the Almighty God. It's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. Are you thankful that God's good to turn you, to get you to turn? God lets you see you, your faults and your failures, and you get sick and tired of it. And God, with his goodness, lets you turn to him. You know, repentance is deeper than just something I have to do. It's something I get to do. Repentance is a blessing. It's a privilege, and it's an operation of God, the background, having mercy and grace on our life. You know, judgment assumes moral decision-making. Judgment tells you that because you're responsible, you have no hope. But I'm thankful that there's something called the grace of God. That when we seem to have no hope and no capability, there's a great God's ability that comes in. Do you know there's power in the Holy Ghost? The power in the Holy Ghost is more than something you feel, but something that fills you, that comes in your life, that teaches you to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, that you can live righteously and soberly in this present day and hour and world. Are you thankful for the power of the Holy Ghost? And the scripture says that the power of God keeps us. It garrisons us. We're kept by the power of God, the scripture says. I'm glad that what God gives us is not just a gift. How would you like to get a gift and it's all wrapped up and somebody said, oh, I got you this gift. When you open the box, they forgot to put the gift inside. The Holy Ghost is more than just a feel-good wrapped gift that you get. Oh, man, you shake the box and it feels empty. No, the Holy Ghost, the real thing of the Holy Ghost is the power that flows with it inside of your life. Just don't get tongues. Just don't be satisfied coming to an altar or to the front or praying or whatever and just going through the tongues. Amen. God has more than tongues for you. Tongues is the sign, the evidence of the Holy Ghost. But tongues, when it's used and God begins to edify you, please let the God of the gift come in your life. Somebody say amen. Paul said, he said it plainly, everybody's going to give an account of themselves to God. What does responsibility mean? Think with me. We're answerable for what we choose, not merely for what we feel. We're answerable for what we choose. You know, what you choose, what you allow, what you yield to, and what you submit to will overtake you. The Bible talked about that a while ago in Romans. Let me say, temptation explains the pressure. Temptation will come and it explains the pressure of things coming in your life. You know, we're tempted. And temptation will come, but it explains that there's pressure, but it doesn't explain that God has a way out. I love the scripture, and I have it in my notes tonight, that the scripture says this in 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above all that you're able, but with the temptation also make of a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. God's not going to allow temptation to come on you that you can't handle it. Sister Nina, God knows what you can stand. And when temptation comes your way, you know the beautiful thing about it? There's a way of escape. God's not going to overload your shocks. He's not going to overload the bed of your truck, so to speak, that you can't handle it. But with every temptation, he makes a way of escape. Our part is we just got to look for the escape route, don't we? Amen. I'm thankful for the power of the Lord tonight. God makes a way of escape. So responsibility. You know, grace is offered freely, but repentance is required, and it's got to be intentionally. God gives grace, but he intentionally wants you to do something with that grace, that opportunity. Let me say this, if I could just plainly say, God never excuses sin on the basis of background alone. There's a lot of people think, well, that's just my background, so I feel excused. If responsibility is moved or removed, sin becomes only a sickness. That's why somebody says, well, it's okay for me to have perverted things in my mind and my heart. And a person will say it's just a sickness to be perverted. You know, if that's the case, repentance becomes unnecessary and redemption becomes meaningless. Aren't you thankful that God's goodness comes in? God does work with somebody. Amen. Your worst of your worst. I'm thankful that there's a God that is able to help you in your worst condition, in the worst faults of your life. God is still God. I don't care how bad it is. I have a good God who's able to touch your worst and is able to help you. Let me say this, a gospel with no responsibility is not good news, it's powerless news. But the goodness of the gospel is a gospel will save your soul, and there's good news tonight for your bad news. Amen, Jesus Christ. So human responsibility, God gives, but let's talk about human susceptibility. We're deeply affected creatures. I mean, we're people that are influenced and affected. And at the same time, the Bible's honest. People are not born or formed in a vacuum. We're shaped, we're influenced, we're pressured, and sometimes wounded long before we make a conscious choice. That little innocent child that is tampered with. I want to go into details. Way before they're able to make a conscious choice, they don't even understand. It's become a way of life. Then there comes the deal where there is what we call heredity. There are real predispositions. There's temperament. There's impulse control. There's addictive tendencies, emotional sensitivity. Every one of us inherit certain things, and it's in our genes. There's, grandma was a worrier. Grandma was one that worried out loud. Grandma was a very insecure person, and you'll find yourself, you'll say, you know, that little child right there is just like grandma. There's something that is carried from their inheritance of something in their genes. And scriptures does acknowledge a generational influence. But I want you to notice this carefully. Influence may be passed down, but guilt is not. The environment may begin to stimulate things. And family systems matter. There's traumas. There's things that will happen to people. There's abuse. There's neglect. There's poverty. And learned behaviors that shape and responses. Let me say this. Many sins train the flesh before the mind ever understood the battle. Think with me. Even Jesus realized the reality when he said, they know not what they do. And this statement doesn't cancel responsibility, but it deepens the mercies of God. And I may be talking over some heads today, but I come to tell you today, we have a good God that is able to reach regardless of the excuses that we say. Well, you know, I can't help it. That's just the way I am and who I am. I think that Jesus will deliver you out of your transgression, and he does take you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's the reason why it's marvelous. Now, the dangers of the extremes is this. Number one, the era of overemphasizing responsibility, it produces harsh judgment, moral superiority, little patience for healing. And you ever heard that one said, just try harder, that mentality. You know, it's easy to kick somebody down, kick somebody while they're down. It's easy, and I have to guard me for this, to say, and I have made a commitment this last week not to say it, to look at somebody that you have warned and talked to, and say, I told you so. Wow. It's hard. You know, when we're overemphasizing responsibility, it forgets that some battles were inherited, not invited. There's some people that inherited some battles. And there were some chains that were forged before there even was an awareness inside of their life. And truth without mercy becomes cruelty. That's the reason why there must be the Word of God and the Spirit of God. There must be truth in it. The truth, the goodness, and the mercy of God. And the next thing, the second error that we often find is the overemphasizing of susceptibility. And when somebody says, oh, you're just so influenced. I'm so influenced. I can't get out of it. I'm so easily influenced. Well, you know what that produces when you overemphasize that? A victim mentality. A victim identity. And it's excuses for continual sin. I want to just tell you, we don't have to be those that stay in our sin. Amen. There's no such thing as a spiritual passivity where we just say, oh, well, you know, I get a free card. No, no, no. God still wants you to have responsibility to do something. You have people that blame everything but self. You ever been around somebody that way? They pointed their finger at everything in life. And, I mean, I know people, you know people, that have blamed everybody they're with. And I find even people that have problems, and it's not apparent to them that the problem is self, or maybe it is apparent and they don't want to know it. It's always somebody else's problem. When they're around somebody else, they can't get along with them, so it becomes their fault, the other person's fault. It becomes this situation. Every time they go and they do something, they're going to pull some kind of string and they're going to point their finger and say, that's the reason why. And they don't realize that they're the problem. That the problem is self. I want to say to us tonight, amen, your enemy is not a devil. The greatest enemy you have is not the devil tonight, but the greatest enemy you have is the one that you look to in the mirror. And you got to realize today, if we overemphasize susceptibility, we'll forget some things. We forget that grace empowers change. And man, I have underlined those three things, those three words. Grace empowers change. Grace empowers change. The gospel calls people out of bondage, not to settle in it. Mercy without truth becomes permission. Grace empowers change. Are you thankful that God gives you grace, not just to wash you off and say, go back in the pig pen, but the grace of God says, come on, I love you enough to wash the stench off of you and forgive you of your sins. Now follow me. Amen. So there's a biblical oneness, a biblical balance that the scripture holds without contradiction. We are influenced, but we're not imprisoned. We're wounded, but not excused. We're responsible, but thank the Lord, not abandoned. The Bible keeps all these three truths together. Number one, Matthew 26 says the flesh is weak. I will admit the flesh is weak. Next thing, Romans 6:23, sin is still sin. It's still sin. And 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, but the grace of God is sufficient. I'm thankful the grace of God balances things out in my life. God never says, I understand, so it don't matter. You stay like you are. And he never says, figure it out on your own. But he says, my grace is sufficient. I'm glad that the grace of God empowers you to get out of your mud hole, to get out of your pig pen, to get out of your beggar's garments, amen, and follow him and become something that you can't be on your own. We don't deserve God, and that's where the goodness of God comes in. He will make you a new creature. All things will pass away when you let it pass away. And let me just say this. If you had problems in your past, and you keep building shrines over your past, monuments over your past, you're going to resurrect old spirits. I had a friend that he got in church and he would just literally brag about all his, how would you say it without being pointed or too plain, all his experiences with women, how good looking he was and how much of a woman chaser he was, and how many trophies he got. He constantly was talking about that. Well, it wasn't too long in his life that that old spirit resurrected. I want to tell you, if you know something in your past was a weakness, you need to get as far away as you can from it. Because with many people, it has affected them and robbed their home. Their family picture's messed up. Amen. This man, I mean, had a beautiful family picture. But hear me, it don't take long for the enemy to come in to steal, to kill, and to destroy. You know, the devil don't have to put his hand in it one bit. All he has to do is suggest some things and starts messing with your brain. He gets you to do it. He didn't force, he didn't pop the whip on Eve. He just said some things, some suggestions. Mm-hmm. And some things were awakened in her that she couldn't resist. I want to just tell us today, we need to stay away from things we know that are detrimental to us. Amen. My grandpa on my dad's side was an alcoholic. First time Mama ever met Mr. Crosswhite, my mother was a very young girl raised in a good Christian home, was never around alcohol or drunk people, never seen anybody drunk, that her testimony, till she married my dad. And my dad took her, his new wife, to meet his family. And when they got to the Crosswhite's house, My grandpa Crosswhite was drunk. Was he passed out, Mama? Passed out where? Front porch. They had to step over probably Papa Crosswhite. My mother never seen anybody drunk. And generally, when Papa got drunk and passed out, he vomited on him. He urinated on himself. Flies was there. And my daddy, in shame, tucked his head to his little bride and said, "That's my daddy." What a shameful thing. But I said that to say this. My daddy hated alcohol. He hated drinking and beer. He hated it. You know the reason why? Because it robbed his whole life as a young man by his daddy's actions. He saw what he'd done to his family. And friend, if you have any tendencies in your family, if your family were fornicators, adulterers, if your family were those that they thought the thing to do is just go wild, you need to realize, friend, we don't go around things that influence us. Things that will stimulate that old spirit, if you stick around it and you go around, it will get you. Amen. We don't pet things. Amen. That will kill us and destroy us. God wants us to even have sense to stand against some things. Somebody say amen. Yes. Amen. And we're thankful for the goodness and the grace of God. Amen. That God put a fight inside of my dad when God filled daddy with the Holy Ghost. That he said no to some things. You know, this balance must shape how we conduct ourselves. How we walk with God. And even how we judge other people and how we judge ourselves. A healthy gospel posture sounds like this. You know, I understand why this is hard. That's called compassion. But responsibility says, but God still has a higher calling for you. God don't want you to stay in your condition. There's a higher place than this. And I love it because this is what grace says. He will empower in your life what he requires. If God requires you to live above sin, he will give you power over sin. Hear me. Amen. God will give you power to steer out of the bumps in the road that often cause you to lose everything you got. God wants a victorious people that know how to live for him. Somebody will say amen tonight. Amen. We don't excuse sin. Neither do we crush the sinner. I know people that sin and people are down, and I know churchgoers that when they sin, they will laugh about it. Ha, I know it all the time. Ha, they got caught. Ha, ha. You know, and I was around a group of preachers one time, and there was a minister that fell in adultery, and they laughed about it. Ha, he fell. You hear about that? And I said, how sad, because his wife, his kids, and that church is going through something. I said, have you ever been through a situation like that? And both of them looked at me like, whoa, how dare you? And I said, I'm going to tell you, my wife and I were just young people. When it happened to us, I was assistant pastor, and something happened in that church, and it robbed families, it robbed that church. I said, it ought to make you have compassion and say, God, help that little preacher's wife. Help that family. Help that church. Instead of laughing about it. We don't rejoice when somebody falls. It ought to grieve us. Even when we warn them. In fact, I love the scripture, Micah 7. Says, rejoice not against me, O my enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. I want the power to lift somebody up and help somebody up, don't you? Yes, praise God. And a healthy gospel posture sounds like this. God has grace to help you up, not for you to stay up in your problem. We don't excuse sinner. We don't crush the sinner. But we lead people to the power of the Almighty God. You know, I'm thankful for the truth of God. Let it settle in our spirits tonight. Influence explains the struggle. Choice determines the outcome. Backgrounds may shape the battlefield, But obedience decides the victory tonight. Are you thankful for the victory of the Holy Ghost? You may not be responsible for what shaped you in your past and influenced you, but you are responsible for what you surrender to God. If you came from something that influenced you constantly, 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 even you ought to say, God, I thank you for your goodness to help me to shut the door behind me, that these things are behind the door of my past, and I want to keep them behind the door of my past. So some of us need to stop blaming or giving excuse to our past. Some of us need to stop denying what happened. And all of us needs to bring what happened to the cross of Jesus Christ and nail it all there before him. I love it because grace does not deny your story, but it redeems it. Are you thankful for the hope that God gives tonight? Amen. Every one of us is going to give an account to God. We are answerable for what we choose, not merely for what we feel. Human susceptibility says we're affected creatures because everything, but we weren't created in a vacuum. We were born in sin and shapen in iniquity. But I'm thankful tonight that even though we are affected, God gives us power to be overcomers. And I'm thankful today. Let me just say this. If you get sick easily, you're susceptible to germs. If candy is hard for you to say no to, you're susceptible to sweets. If teasing hurts you a lot, you're susceptible to mean words. Susceptibility means that things affect you faster or stronger, so you need extra help and care. Now, let me find somebody that has a coat on tonight. There's a coat right there. May we borrow that coat? All right, let me see who I can get to put that coat on. Brother Brent, why don't you get that coat real quick? All right. What is a coat for? Is it to look good? Is it to make you look good? No. It's to keep you warm, right? Okay, put that coat on. Man, that's a good coat too, buddy. Is it too small? All right. We'll find one your size. Okay, if it don't fit and you can't button it up, can you button it up? Okay, hang on. Now, I want you to picture Brother Brent. He gets off the airplane. He's in Anchorage, Alaska. It is 14 below zero. The north wind is blowing from the North Pole. It is cold. It is so cold that if you take a bucket of hot water and throw it out of your window, it crystallizes into ice immediately. That's cold. So here's Brother Brent. He gets out of the airplane in Anchorage, Alaska. He's got this coat on. It's just a little bit snug for him, right? And that north wind is blowing and he's facing the north. That wind is going to cut right through that coat. And he knows that, man, it is cold. What's happening is that coat is designed to be a barrier. It is there to be something that gives a barrier and layers of warmth. And because it has an opening right here, that wind is going to penetrate on the inside and it's going to get his torso and his chest. And he's going to be cold. Naturally, when the wind's blowing like that and you got a coat on, what do? Button it up real quick. Go ahead, you can do it. It's backwards. You button up, right? Isn't that right, Kenny? Why do you button up your coat or zip up your coat? To stay warm. Boy, he got it the first round. You know, the next reason, Bobby, come up here. Put your coat on. Hurry. Come on, Bobby. Put it on, buddy. Put your hood on, too. Run up here, Bobby. Hurry. Zip it all the way up, buddy. Come stand next to Brother Brent. Woo. Zip it up, buddy. I want to tell you what happens when you zip up your coat and button up your coat. you're less susceptible, right? Number one, Brother Brent, you're keeping the warmth in and you create a barrier against the cold that's on the outside. Isn't that right? Where you at, Bobby? Come right here, buddy. He puts his hood on. He zips it up all the way. It is frigid. It is cold. What he's doing is responding to the circumstance. Let me tell you tonight, in the Holy Ghost, the Lord wants us sometimes when there are things that come against us to learn to put the barrier up, to learn to zip up, amen, and to learn to stand against. The Bible says, put on the whole armor of God that you may stand in the evil hour and withstand. You know, God wants you to learn to button up, buckle up, zip it up, amen, and sometimes stand up against the things that come against you. But if you don't button up, oh, the cold's going to get in. And you're going to lose your body heat very quickly because of the frigid air. And it's the same thing spiritually. We got to learn to put on the whole armor of God, Brother Wesley. And we got to learn to use that shield to keep some things off of us and out of our lives. The enemy does a good job of working on self. And he will mess you up. Thank the Lord for the truth tonight. Are you thankful for the goodness of the Lord? God don't want you to go to hell. God don't want you to be kicked over the edge and say, ha ha. No, but God is a God of mercy and goodness and grace. Amen. You may be born and influenced, but you don't have to stay open up, wide open to it any longer. Because the Lord Jesus is our cover and he's our comforter. The Bible says, but the Holy Ghost, but the comforter is the Holy Ghost. You know what that word comforter means? It means paracletus in the Greek, which means our covering. He is our covering. Look at here. God begins to cloak us and God begins to help us. He is our barrier. Amen. The comforter of the Holy Ghost. Are you thankful tonight to have a God that cares about your well-being? Are you thankful tonight that God gives you a little sense to do something, to make a choice, and to be proactive with some things? Don't be one that let every excuse begin to take you downstream. Somebody said, I can't live for God. You can't live for God without God. You can't say no without God. That's the reason why he said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. You better put something on the inside of you that you could stand and withstand the things against you. Stand with me tonight. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, brothers. Amen for helping me give the jacket illustration. Amen. So we got to be careful about some things that we let in. Got to be careful about what you let in. Because they will affect something within. Be careful what you let in. If you used to, in the world, before you come to God, listen to certain types of music that got you to doing crazy things. There's certain jiving music that wants you to do crazy things. Now, there's barroom music that make you want to go drinking. And if you were a drinker and you come out of the barroom and you listen to that old barroom song, there's a tear in my root beer. And I can't get enough. I can't get enough. Oh, that's not even the song. Or you came out of the worldliness where you were sensual and unwholesome in your morals. And that song starts talking about, woo, running around, cheating around and playing around. You don't want to listen to that mess because it starts entertaining some old spirits. Uh-huh. And we learn to put the barrier up against things that will come within. Because the Bible says, far from within, out of the heart of man, proceeds evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders. All these things come out and they destroy the man. Amen. Be one that walks in the balance of God's goodness and God's grace. Are you thankful for the goodness of God tonight? Lift your hands with me. Let's thank the Lord for his grace. Lord, we love you. We praise you. Thank you for everything you've done. We pray tonight for your help tonight in every life that is here, that we can learn to be strong in you and the power of your might. And help us, God, to put on the whole armor. We praise your name. We love your name. And we thank you tonight for your goodness. In Jesus' name we pray. Somebody say amen. Amen. Let's go to heaven.